It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
Folks, I got some audio for you to hear. And some of you are going to go... And some of you guys are going to go, well, you're wasting my time. Goodbye. That's what they're going to say. I'm telling you, here we go. Adam Schefter, who has done a 180, it seems, in the last month. Where it was quarterback for the Browns at number two. And now, Owen, hit that music.
I believe he will be available at three for the Giants. And by the way, like, they don't know that right now because right. Cleveland holds two and Tennessee's at one. But I think when you talk to people around the league, the sense is that Cleveland would like Cam Ward. I think Cam Ward's going to be the number one pick. Unless Cleveland trades up to one, I don't think it's going to get Cam Ward. And in which case, I think Cleveland goes either Abdul Carter or Travis Hunter. And if they go for one of those guys, then that leaves Shedeur Sanders sitting there at number three for the New York Giants, if that's the direction they want to go.
Audio courtesy of ESPN. Abdul Carter or Travis Hunter? No Shedeur Sanders. That's what he says. Is that the right call or the wrong call, folks? I asked you earlier this week. I'm not going to do it all like I did, like, anonymously, like we're in a bathroom in a club. I want to know, is this the right call or the wrong call right now, your first gut instinct?
Well, I'm a tough person to ask the question because I'm not as high on Abdul Carter as everybody else, and I'm not as high on Travis Hunter as everybody else. And I have always been, from the get-go, like, pretty desperate for a quarterback. I'm willing to take Sanders at two. But I'm not as confident about Sanders either. So, okay. You know, I'm in line with what people had been saying about the draft all along, which is not a great quarterback draft, also not a great blue chipper draft historically. So, like, where would Travis Hunter go in last year's draft? Where would Abdul Carter go in last year's draft? Like, way lower, obviously. So that is the hard part about all of this.
I'm stuck here. I think people are trying to talk themselves out and into certain things. And guys, I'm not going to sit here and say things I don't believe about Abdul Carter just to change your mind about a quarterback. I think he's a fine football player. He's not Myles Garrett. Who is Myles Garrett, for crying out loud? Who is Myles Garrett? Nobody. The Bosas are always getting hurt. They play like three games a year, Joey Bosa. Who? Micah Parsons? I don't know. Go ask DeMarcus Lawrence about him bitching on the internet. Hey, who's Myles Garrett? And I know we have our own issues with Miles. But I'm not going to sit here and compare him to him. So I look at Abdul Carter, and you know who I'm not going to compare him to as well? Courtney freaking Brown, because that's totally unfair. It's totally unfair.
Which I have seen
you
some
people. You got Courtney Brown again. Oh, yeah, well, if Courtney Brown wasn't hurt, Courtney Brown would have been a hell of a football player. But, you know, you wish in one hand and you know what in the other. I think that Abdul Carter is a fine football player and is going to be good for whoever drafts him. Whoever drafts him. So now they have to make the decision. Can they talk themselves into being in love with Shedeur Sanders between the end of his football season and April? If they can't do it, then damn it, don't take them. Don't take it. It's their call. And I said it yesterday, which some people took it the wrong way. Guys, if they don't have a quarterback and if they don't have a young quarterback or anybody to look forward to, and they go and they get Kirk Cousins, or they go and they get Joe Flacco or Russell Wilson or Steve DeBerg or whoever the hell you want to bring in, and they win 4 games, 5 games, 6 games, they're getting canned. You guys all know it. We all know this. Stop insulting your own intelligence. This is how the league works.
So are we?
And hell, and not even that. If Shedeur Sanders goes somewhere else, if he goes to the Giants and he actually starts lighting it up, and we're over here on our leather ass trying to grind out a season with Kirk Cousins, and they're not doing very well, they'll go middle of the season. Don't insult your intelligence. You know how this goes. But I will tell you this. The day after the draft, I'll say for the second day in a row, friends. The day after the draft, if they take Abdul Carter and they don't take Shedeur Sanders, I'll say you are making a tremendous, you're taking a tremendous, tremendous risk. But in your eyes, I will never, ever, ever be able to accuse you of doing what's right for yourself, which a lot of general managers do. I can fully say that you have done right what you think by the franchise. Now, you can take Shedeur Sanders. I can't accuse you of the opposite because I think Shedeur Sanders is pretty good. But we might find out during the year that if Shedeur Sanders is sucking up the room, then you just did what you thought was going to be a Hail Mary for yourself, and now you've put us way behind.
Are we right back to where we were probably 2 months before people really started sinking their teeth into the draft? Where 2 months ago it was, Browns are going to trade down. They're trading down. They don't want the quarterback at two because they don't have him graded. They have a second-round grade on Shedeur. They're trading down to get – there's going to be another desperate team that's going to move up and take Sanders. That's why Sanders all along didn't seem to really care about his interviews. Remember, people were saying it was a borderline disrespectful. He wasn't really gearing up like it was an actual job interview. Is it because he knows there is a team that will take him and he doesn't have to worry about anything, and it's not going to be the Browns? They're trading down, they're collecting assets, and they're still going to get a fine player. They're just going to get them, you know, further down to the draft.
Yeah. I mean, you could always just – no one's stopping you from putting your pick up for sale. And if you – I mean, if you really think Abdul Carter is going to be that good and you can't risk it, like if you have to move down to where Vegas is – but somebody can move in front of you. You don't want to do that. But hell, if the Giants really like the guy, okay, let's talk turkey here. What can we get out of you? Ain't going to be too terribly much, but let's see what we can get out of you here because we need picks. Because I'll take, if you want to take Abdul Carter at 3, fine. 4, fine. Whatever. I would like to trade down and not just take Abdul Carter or Travis Hunter at number 2. Travis Hunter is the only one I'd be really nervous about because he'd be fun to talk about. And they could, Jason join us Monday or Tuesday, the days all blurred together this week, they could definitely take Travis Hunter and play Don't Stop Believin' at the stadium if they really wanted to. That's another thought. He is a star. He's a Heisman Trophy winner. But I'd be very nervous. And it's not about him as much as it is the staff, as it is the organization. A guy like that who's good at everything. Not the greatest at everything or one thing, but good at everything. He can get lost real quick on a team like that. Get lost real quick. And that'd be a damn shame. So it's like Abdul Carter at the baseline, go for the quarterback. You go that way. Travis Hunter, he could end up in Cuyahoga Valley National Park very quick just looking for a way. That stadium would look like the Blair Witch Project. If we don't have the right coaching staff for him.
Isn't that Marvin Harrison Jr. last year?
So many ways. Jerome in North Ridgeville. Hello, Jerome.
Am I the only one that's like kind of nervous about how quiet the Browns have been when it comes to the quarterback situation? And then Deshaun Watson puts that rehab video out, you know what I mean? Like, so are they rocking with him?
Now
you know
we're
what
getting
I mean?
Spicy.
Am I the only one that's thinking that right now?
Well, how often do you listen to the show? We talked about this a little bit a couple days ago. Was it yesterday? 2 days ago we talked about.
I listen to you guys every morning on the way to work.
Okay, so it was just at a different time because it wasn't at 7. I get that. All right, Jerome, thank you very much for the call. Let me explain it. Turn up your radio again. 216-474-0092. Right or wrong call? Right call or a mistake to not take Shedeur Sanders or to take Abdul Carter? The Deshaun Watson video, this is my theory. He's got to do what he can to keep up appearances for his contract. So you're going to go in there, and you're not just going to go in there. You're going to wear all brown stuff, and you're going to work out because he's entitled to work out in the building. He's not broken an NFL rule.
They can't keep him from being in there.
He's not broken an NFL rule. He's an employee.
It's very important to have that brown stripe in the background as well and not just be at some random gym in Miami. Yeah.
But I really do firmly believe he don't want to play here. He don't want to face our fans. He doesn't like our fans.
Think about it. Everything's gone south here. This is the worst he's ever played as a quarterback in his life.
And they made the biggest damn deal about it, and I'll say it till my dying day, that it wasn't an entire stadium. It wasn't that many people. But it was loud enough for players to notice, and I'm sure he don't like you just as much as you don't like him now. Because I'd be pretty upset if I were him too, and all my other buddies were saying how bad everything was. But I just, with everything going on, everything that they're trying to do, if you want to play them, better play them in a road game. Better play them in a road game. He comes trotting out there at home. Boy. It'll certainly be interesting. I don't think that they plan on playing him. I don't think that he wants to play here. But I also, people say he plans on playing football again. My whole question is, who's going to sign him? Are you going to give him a chance? Would somebody give him a chance? Because anytime you bring him in, you're going to have to answer questions. I mean, it doesn't matter what. Now, that's in his past, but you're still going to have to answer questions. Do you plan on starting him? Because you don't want to have to answer any questions, good or bad, about backups.
That's why Tim Tebow. We saw him, he was a broken quarterback, and that was before the nasty injury.
Yeah.
But, the non-contact injury.
But let me make the comparison. Like everybody, we love Tim Tebow, all this, that, and the other. That's why Tim Tebow had a trouble being a backup at any level. Because you're not going to want to bring in a backup and then have to sit there and answer questions about a guy you really don't want to start. So unless you bring him in and intend to start him or really compete for the job if you're another team, I don't know if he's playing anywhere else after this. I think he definitely wants to, certainly. But I don't think he wants to play for us. And I really don't think, it's my opinion, I don't think they want to put him out there. No. 216-474-0092. That'll certainly set the flame off, won't it? If they took Abdul Carter, I think we'd have a lot of people celebrating. I think we'd have some people calling in and saying they're all fired and they're all idiots. But I would have to defend him in that moment. I cannot say, and I won't say, because I do like Shedeur Sanders. There's players I like. There's nobody I'm in love with, is scary.
Listen, the Browns have had some famous trade downs that have ended up becoming total disasters. In this case, though... Yeah. When you're being told, and don't think about what we're being told today. Think about what we were told when the stakes were different and everybody was just weighing in on the stock of this class in general. People were telling you this was down. It was down at the top. It was down with quarterbacks. The blue chippers, it was down on. Down, 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 down. If the Browns trade down this time, does it at least look like they're more definitive? It's more conclusive that... They think it's an all-time reach to go after Sanders at number two.
It would have to
be. That make some people feel better that at least there seems like there's conviction there?
It would have to be. But if you're willing to pass up on him, I still say him and his name. And just when you say Shedeur Sanders, there's people who cheer and there's people who cringe and cuss at you for saying his name. I think if you trade down, you're not taking him anywhere. If he were to somehow free fall, which I don't think anybody's trading up unless they're going to take him, really. But if he were to free fall, I'd still say pass on him. Because if you didn't believe that much in him, and people will definitely disagree, but I think the moment he hits the field, because he's such a controversial figure, if there's any, or a polarizing figure, he done nothing wrong, but he's such a polarizing figure, the moment he takes the field, there's going to be a mountain of pressure on him. And I think that if he's taken at 22 or 32 or 2 or 12, wherever, there's just as much pressure on him, just as much. So if you pass on him once, I think you keep passing up on him and that you've moved out of that position because he's a quarterback and he's one of the two at the top of the draft. 216-474-0092. You heard that Schefter audio. Is it the right call to take Abdul Carter or the right call to take Travis Hunter, or is this a total mistake? That's coming up. Ken Carmen, Anthony Lima. And the Cavs losing streak ends tonight for a very specific reason. That's at 7:30 on The Fan. Most fun you can have with the tournament, I guess.
Well, you have three boys. Which one survives? Which one moves on to the next round? Who's in the loser's bracket, Kenny?
That's what it's called. Say you're not going to bring me a beer to my office, and we'll play a game called Survive in Advance.
He plays this music.
Clark Kellogg. Should ask Clark Kellogg. Yeah. 9 o'clock. Clark Kellogg's going to join us on the show. Guys, if they take... We're going to get to the Cavs coming up here in 8 minutes, I promise you. If they take Abdul Carter... I got nothing against Abdul Carter. I've had people in my mentions calling each other heinous words over these last few weeks about Abdul Carter and Travis Henry and the quarterbacks. And I go, man, they don't do this in the building. At least I don't think they insult each other like this in the building. I would expect that they don't. I think that everybody kind of respects the opinions. Now, you have to be a passionate person to take a quarterback and stand up there for a guy who not everybody is sold on. Not everybody's sold on Shedeur Sanders. I got to tell you, I'm waiting until John Dorsey Day, April 1st, to make my declaration.
Ooh, I like that.
Even though his actual pro day, even though they had Big 12 pro day yesterday.
And what, Sanders didn't do anything?
He talked to the media.
We did.
We have audio.
Is he saying he's going to the Browns? Did he say
no.
He has a handshake agreement already?
No.
A verbal commitment?
No.
Well, I'm sure he was asked about it. He had to say something to that effect.
Yeah, I don't think he was asked anything specifically about the Browns. And all the clips we have, he wasn't asked anything specifically about the Browns.
Daniel Jeremiah, what are you doing? Ask him.
Hold on a second.
Now, let's find out what
he say he wants to go number one. Isn't that what he says?
You should say that, yes. You should say you want to go number
one. Well, damn it. Now, I didn't want to go this way, but now I got to play the Shedeur Sanders clip from the NFL Network. Here he says where he the traits he has to turn organizations around. Hit it.
Because I know the recipe of it. I was heavily involved in, I was almost the GM for both of the teams because I knew what pieces I wanted. And, you know, when we got to Colorado, I would say was stable in the college area to where I knew exactly what I wanted. It wasn't what just coach saying, these are the guys we're going to get. It was me actually going out there, getting those guys, knowing what receivers are going to fit my eye, knowing everybody has to complement each other, knowing, you know, which O-line guys we got to get, we got to secure. So I was heavily involved in that process from transitioning from Jackson State to Colorado, so I kind of have like a different type of viewpoint. I wasn't just going out there just playing ball.
Laser eyes, Shedeur Sanders.
Okay, let's not go that far.
Let's go!
Let's not go that
let's
far.
Let's go! I'm in. Number two, I'm in. Let's go.
Wait a minute, you're drafting him now, number
let's
two?
Let's ask him about Jerry Jeudy, too.
Hold
let's
on go. A second.
Did Andrew Berry know he was drafting his own replacement?
Yeah, listen. You guys can get excited about Travis Hunter because he wears two hats. He has two roles. We've got a guy that's going to be the quarterback and the GM. Boom. Haslams, you save money. This is huge.
Ladies and gentlemen, I implore you. Don't take this man seriously. You hosted like three shows with Daryl. You let Daryl scare you out of it.
Well,
so I don't want to hear it now.
I might be back in. Does he understand the cap? Does he understand
of
the rollover situation?
Does. Yeah, he kicked the can down the road. Make it someone else's problem. The cap always goes up, so if the cap's always going up, what's the problem?
Shedeur knows how to front load and back load a contract.
Oh, you always
depending.
Just front load the contract. Hey, you front load the contract is what you do.
I'll start talking about his NIL deals. I'm sure he's doing all that stuff. This guy is very versatile, multidimensional.
So you're joking, right? You're not just drafting him now. Are you?
Listen,
you've been talked back into Shedeur
you
Sanders.
Heard me. You heard me when you asked. You asked everybody, "What are we doing at number two?" And yeah, I mean, I was hemming and hawing because
he is a nice player.
I'm not in love with this draft. I did love for the most part what I saw last year out of Shedeur. I think his story is amazing. I think he'd be way more interesting to cover. I think the Browns with Shedeur is way more interesting than the Browns with Abdul.
You got to tell everybody that because everybody just accuses us. You guys just want a story.
But
because I had enough stories with Johnny, I had enough stories with Baker. I've certainly had enough stories with the latest guy. I don't need any
but
more
this
stories.
This guy works his ass off. Like there's
he
nobody,
is working.
There's nobody out there that says like Anthony Richardson. That was the story with him years ago, going back to the passing academy, the Manning camp. That he had work ethic issues. Well, have you seen anybody's mind changed about that since then? You hear the way that McAfee talks about him. Like, this is a guy nobody has ever once said. People that say nepotism, like this guy has worked his ass off to get to where he is.
I want first and last names of those saying nepotism, because I want to hear you say the same thing when it comes to Arch Manning.
Oh, it's such a good, it's a great litmus test, right?
Yeah, but you used that on a caller earlier. I go, well, that's the royal family of the NFL. So if you're going to say nepotism about this kid, you better be ready to say nepotism about Arch Manning. Unless you can give me all the arguments that you won't make about all the games that you didn't see, about all the intangibles that you don't really know that Arch Manning has.
Mm-hmm.
He just has a last name that you trust because his dad hosted SNL and has a big forehead. Well, excuse me, his uncle hosted SNL and has a big forehead. There you go. Thank you very much. Sorry. See? Nepotism. Don't even know. But because Shador Sanders, his old man, wore gold chains back in the day and had Kenny Carmen wanting his turf shoes, wanting to wear the bandana exactly like Dion, well, we can't have Dion's son. Too flashy, just because he turned around Jackson State and Colorado. Too flashy. Don't want him. Come on now. Don't do that. If you think he ain't good, tell me why he ain't good. I like them both, but I think that one's more important than the other. So, yeah, I'd be drafting Shador Sanders. They have a very interesting – so why wouldn't they want to take Shador Sanders? I want to know why Adam Schefter in that clip has, in a month, gone from, yeah, number two, quarterback, makes sense, Shador Sanders, to this, hit it again.
I believe he will be available at three for the Giants. And by the way, like, they don't know that right now because Cleveland holds two and Tennessee's at one. But I think when you talk to people around the league, the sense is that Cleveland would like Cam Ward. I think Cam Ward's going to be the number one pick. Unless Cleveland trades up to one, I don't think it's going to get Cam Ward. And in which case, I think Cleveland goes either Abdul Carter or Travis Hunter. And if they go for one of those guys, then that leaves Shador Sanders sitting there at number three for the New York Giants, if that's the direction they want to go.
So what happened in a month? Who's telling him things?
Yeah, isn't it amazing that Schefter was the one...
Is he being used as a patsy like I was years ago?
Well, he was the one that got everybody talking about Sanders to begin with, the two, and now he's like not so fast. So I think this is the obvious stuff that any front office should do when they're at the top of the draft. Like, this is the easiest part of the job, sending out mixed signals.
But if you're willing to, like, he goes on to say, like, the Giants are a great fit and they could take him at three. All right, are you trying to get a market going? I'm not saying he's doing it, Adam Schefter. But is whoever telling him trying to get some market going? Because my answer is, if you're willing to start a trade market for Shador Sanders, then you certainly ain't taking the guy. And if this is all to get a trade market going where you would consider trades, but you still want to take Shador Sanders, then pack your boxes and leave right now. You got to be gung-ho on a quarterback. You're going to take a quarterback high like that. Damn it, we can't do this. You know, the trade-down crap, now all of a sudden we talk ourselves into it. That's how you get Brandon Weeden. That's how you get those mistakes. Don't do that anymore. Either like him or take Abdul Carter. He'll be a fine football player for the next general manager, more than likely. Unless you can, I mean, I'm not saying it's over, but it would look not very great. We get to Jeffrey in University Heights. Cavs talk in just a moment because they are breaking this losing streak tonight. Go ahead, Jeff.
Good morning, gentlemen. When you were talking earlier about Abdul Carter, it made me ponder. I have a feeling that when Myles Garrett sat down with him, he had to ask him, okay, guys, tell me who you're drafting. And they would have said to him, okay, who do you want us to draft? Who is the most – so I'm asking you guys to play out the scenario. Who is the most appealing pick if we made Myles Garrett the GM? Who does he want?
He kept talking about quarterbacks in every interview he did. He just kept talking about QBs, Jeffrey.
I don't buy that either. Just like you said, I want to stay here. I think he wants Abdul Carter next to him on the other end. It would unleash them.
Then why did he keep talking about quarterbacks? He's done nothing but talk about quarterbacks, Jeffrey.
Well, yeah, I know that. Do you believe he'd be happier with Shador Sanders or Abdul Carter? It's his side of the ball.
I think if I'm going to take him by his word, I think he's going to say he'd be happier with Shador Sanders.
I've learned not to take him by his word already.
Okay, fine. I mean, we'll reach an impasse. That's fine. But, I mean, just listening to the guy, he seems to be obsessed with finding the quarterback for the Cleveland Browns.
Maybe I was mistaken. I thought all along that it was about the quarterback.
But as Jeffrey said, I mean, he says – Myles Garrett says a lot of things. Cavs are going to end their streak tonight for a very specific reason. You know what that reason is, Tone? I think you do.
What's that?
Owen, tell him. Because you said it to us and went, damn it, that's right. And I'm going to let Owen take that credit.
Tonight, I believe it's a 10 p.m. tip-off because we're still West Coasting.
Yep.
They play the Phoenix Suns.
It's over.
Dan Gilbert is not going to let them lose to Matt Ishbia Phoenix Suns.
You can lose to a lot of teams. You ain't going to lose to them. That is not going to happen. So the losing streak is over. And hopefully I can stop reading some of the stuff that I'm seeing online about them being paper tigers, paper lions, that they are not tough. By the way, even though they go to the playoffs, and they'll go to the playoffs, they definitely still have to prove that they're tough, and because they will be physically demanded upon by the teams that they play against. That's the truth. But I don't have to read that for a while, and we could take a 16-game winning streak that you had before the 3-game losing streak and enjoy it and go, wow, these are pretty great accomplishments as you had a 15- and a 16-game winning streak during a season where you will tie, if you win tonight, which you should, you will tie the 2015-2016 Cavaliers already. They were a 57-25 basketball team at that time. They beat, of course, a 73-9 team, so not all the wins matter. Have you, though, taken a peek at the standings? Best overall record, probably going to go to Oklahoma City. Like, overall number one seed. While this season has been great, and I got to tell you, they're just bound to lose more games next year. If they finish whatever in 13, I can't do the math off the top of my head.
It was 11-2 if they want to have the best record in franchise history.
If they're 69-13, that's great. Oklahoma City has one more win, one less loss, so they would still have the number one overall seed if everything panned out the way it was to pan out. Fine. They don't have the number one overall seed. Boston is 6 games back. They've won 3 in a row. Is there any thought that Boston could catch you still? I don't think so, but I have to put you on record.
The wheels would have to come off, and Boston would still have to try. And
yes.
Boston has been really managing minutes on a night-to-night basis, not in games, because if you play in a game, you're playing. Like, they're not going to just play at 20 minutes. But they have decided, really, over the last 4 weeks, once the Cavs got that lead, it was about them playing for the 2 seed because they're sandwiched in the middle of New York and Cleveland. So they haven't really looked like a team that is chasing that. Maybe if the Cavs, you know, if this becomes a 6-game losing streak or the Cavs, have a player with an ankle injury and they're like, let's just shut them down for 2 weeks.
Well, I got to tell you.
That's the only way that I could see Boston maybe change their strategy.
I haven't been worried through the 3-game losing streak. I do think that people had their confidence broken a bit. Because they went to bed at halftime the other night and everything looked to be fine, and then they woke up and the Cavs lost. I think they woke up angry because they don't know why and what happened because they decided to get some sleep because they're on the West Coast. If they lost tonight, I got to admit to you, I'd be a little bit like, what's kind of going on here? Because they've had a couple of 3-game losing streaks. That's no big deal to me.
I think it's a good point.
But, man, this is actually one that Dan Gilbert is a very competitive man. He definitely wants to get this win tonight.
They are 6.5-point favorites in this game. It's been a just total disastrous loss season for Phoenix. Now, you know, Devin Booker went out and scored, I think, 45 in his last game. And Kevin Durant is there. And if both those guys are playing, especially the way we're defending of late, where at the point of attack, we're just getting beat off the dribble. I do think it's the doldrums of March. It's not something that I think is going to plague them in the playoffs. Like, I don't think our defense is now in question going to the playoffs. I think it has more to do with, you know, the amount of games here. They're on the road to travel. But with all that said, I think you could tell Atkinson, especially the last 2 games, not happy with some of the defensive effort. So I do think Phoenix has their attention tonight. So you're right. If they, with all that said, and facing a 3-game losing streak, if they lose tonight, yeah, I think you'll be a little bit of concern.
Because then it's like, okay, is the whole West Coast trip going to be a wash? Like, you're at Utah on Sunday, at Portland on Tuesday. You don't come back until, do we have Friday, the next Thursday, I beg your pardon, San Antonio there? You have San Antonio, the next home game you have.
Tickets for that at 9 o'clock.
9 o'clock, excellent. So you don't have a home game again until next Thursday. So it's still that West Coast swing. I think I'd be a little bit worried about all this then. I do think that a team that has not been great this year. As you said, been a bit of a rudderless ship. I think they're 9th or 10th right now in Western Conference standing. So they are a play-in team. And you respect Devin Booker and you respect Kevin Durant. I still think, though, that, man, I'm not worried about this. Defense, I think they'll be better. Offensively, I just don't think you can shoot that poorly for that long a stretch. I know it's been a couple of weeks now, but, man, at some point, good shooters got to be able to get themselves out of it. And I do think there will be a ramp-up period at some point, and maybe this is the beginning of the ramp-up period. But we'll find out tonight, because I've been wrong about the Cavs before. I thought they were going to win the other night, and they ended up losing. I thought it was going to be an easy one without Sabonis. They ended up losing that game, and now here we are. And a lot of people are pressing the panic button. I'm not, but you can hear it in my voice. They lose tonight when Big Dan wants them to win because of that personal rivalry with that owner. Maybe I will be having a different tune by Monday morning. Coming up at 9, Clark Kellogg and your chance to win Cavs tickets. Coming in hot at 9:45. Please keep your comments within the boundaries of good taste. You ready for some bracketology?
Oh, yes, Kenny. Let's go.
With 13-year-olds, right? Coming up on The Fan.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Ugh, your clothes are too tight, yet you can't lose weight, even though you've tried so many diets. The reason you're having trouble losing weight could be a liver clogged with fat, and that is slowing your metabolism. Introducing Omised, a natural superfood protein shake that uses natural amino acids and bioactive peptides to help unclog your liver and optimize your metabolism so it's easier to lose weight, and it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Find out more and see the university studies at Omised.com. That's A-L-M-A-S-E-D.com.
All right, we talked yesterday. How many brackets has everybody filled out here? Kenny, how many brackets have you filled out?
I did one.
Okay, Owen?
Turns out I did zero.
Meredith, brackets, how many?
One for men, one for women.
Whoa. Okay, they had the first four yesterday for the women's tournament, the same time as the men's tournament. That was strange to me. Okay, so Owen...
How many did she fill out?
One of each.
One of each.
Yeah. Do you have Lindsey Gottlieb and USC going all the way?
How'd you know?
Former Cavs assistant.
How'd you know? Am I that predictable, or is it just because that's the expectation?
That was just a total guess.
Yeah, no, I do have USC.
That was the one I knew. Okay, so Owen, your family is filling out brackets, which have to say, you're working on them. Kenny, I expect your sons to be doing this.
No, they don't.
I did try to set a precedent many years ago. I printed them all off and made them fill them out when they were small children.
I like that.
And they couldn't even write, and it didn't matter. I wanted them to try it.
I love that.
Then COVID hit, and that kind of, you know, curtailed some of that. And we tried to get it going again, and it didn't. Yesterday, I've got, I don't even think I had the games on. I was doing something in the kitchen. 13-year-old gets home about 3:20, and he comes in the house, and he immediately goes, we got to get the tournament on. And it's the first I've ever heard that he knows what the tournament is.
That's the best sentence you could have heard yesterday.
That's a nice thing to say to your father. There we go.
So he's like, I got to get the tournament on. So he gets the – we cut the cord, you know, after baseball season, so the TV setup's a little different.
Oh, yeah.
But we still get the – I've got an antenna, so you still get CBS for sure. And I do have the apps that I can get True TV and all that stuff. And you can find it if you're looking, you know. Alexa will pull it up for it too. Yeah. So he comes in and he immediately goes, well, I've got Auburn. I need to go watch Auburn. I need to see them play right now. So he's there, he's watching the game, and I said, why do you care so much? He goes, I've got $10 on this game.
Oh,
what do you mean you've got $10 on
for
it?
For the pool?
He goes, oh, we filled out brackets. We're all doing brackets. And he lists the buddies that he's doing them with. And I go, oh, let me see it. Pull it out. And he pulls out his phone. Like, no, where's the copy of your paper bracket?
Yeah, where's the wrinkled after, like, just one day?
That thing, you know what?
Has been
fine.
In your pocket all
I'm
day?
I'm fine with it. No, we used to walk around with the brackets like it was Charlie and the Chocolate Factory with the golden ticket. Now, man, however way the kids want to do it, as long as they're doing it.
Okay.
Okay? As long as they're doing it, I'm proud. If he pulls out his phone and does that, that's I'm sure I'll say the same about a lot of other things that my generation will think that doesn't make any sense. But as long as he's doing it, damn it, that's a fine young man right there. You ought to be proud of him. I know it kind of threw you off a little bit, and it would throw me off at first. And I would like to have paper brackets. Maybe in your household you should fill out brackets and it should be a paper bracket. I know Marissa, who used to work here.
Yeah.
Her and her husband, their family, like they do a whole thing for March Madness. It's a serious thing. And it's like a 30-year tradition. TVs all over the place. They fill out family brackets. It is wild. Isn't Alabama in town?
Yes. Yes.
Okay, they're probably going to Alabama, the Alabama game.
Mm. Oh, yeah. She was a big.
Yeah, big. Well, she went to Alabama. So, if you want to do the family paper brackets, that's fine. But, hey, wave of the future. Plus, if you do it by computer, I think I said this on this show or the podcast a few days ago, you ain't going to get anybody gaming the system.
Right, because
like what happened in high school
we would be
years ago.
Adding up the totals and doing it, there'd be a lot of human error that could be in play.
Yep. Now, here's what I don't know. A, are they doing cash money? Are they doing Venmo or PayPal or whatever, you know, cash apping, whatever? B, am I required to pony up the $10 for him?
Yeah, that's the thing. Well, it should be his hard-earned money because he needs to feel the hurt of what losing the money is like,
Anthony,
right?
He's 13. There's no hard-earned money laying around right now.
I want to see what is. I want to see
that
what
is
his
immediately spent.
Oh, that's true. They do spend. Well, no, the neighbor kid saved up for a bat, like $400. I go, where did you find the discipline at that age to save $400 for a baseball bat?
That's impressive.
That is impressive.
He actually saved up for his own electric scooter last year.
Oh, really?
And that save up was leaves start falling. He walked around the neighborhood and went, I'll do your leaves for $20 until he got enough to get that scooter. So that save up was pretty cool.
Well, that's nice. See, that's enterprising young men. Yeah. That's good.
Yeah.
So I think that's what this is. There's no care to learn about college basketball. There's ambition to win money off his friends.
I think
but it makes you learn about college basketball.
Maybe. It does.
Think about this. Like, if he loses, like, say he took Purdue a little far, because I posted my bracket, and there were obviously people, they commented on my handwriting. That's great, but I wasn't doing it for that. Here's the bracket. Go ahead, rip it apart, whatever. Most people just weren't entertained by it because a lot of it was chalk, and I'm like, it's not there for your entertainment. But there was Purdue, and, like, a lot of people just don't trust Purdue. For a multitude of reasons.
Zach Edey really blew it for me
a few years. Exactly. Your son, he could look at it and then, oh, damn it, Matt Painter. Like, you when you lose in the tournament, when your bracket's busted, You hold grudges, and it makes you learn things. So you have a grudge. That's basically the entire foundation of Duke basketball, loved and reviled by some. Loved by some, reviled by most. That's the beauty of it. So if you have, I got Duke going all the way. I have no problem hating Duke anyway. If Rick Pitino did something stupid and St. John's didn't get to the Final Four and it cost me some, maybe I could go back and start making Italian restaurant jokes and things like that. But it makes it more interesting, more fun. Grudges make you a better sports fan.
Now, do I push him towards paying attention to other sports? Maybe he wants to put some down on the Suns and the Cavs tonight.
How far? Well,
no, we can't get carried away.
We can't. Mm.
This has to be, hold on. Oh, this has to be once a year. Hey, let's have some fun with it. You get in on it, like, for the tournament.
Yeah, I'm not starting a sports book in the mudroom, right, then.
No, because you're going to start talking to him. One day you're going to end up having to talk to him like Nicky in Casino about putting the heat on, and you don't want to do that.
I mean, they're already talking about interest for food pickup now, right? Or food delivery, yeah. I should say. Interest payments. Like, let's be careful here.
Could you imagine some guy showing up to your door, leg breaker, over a Moon's Over Miami? I saw that. I was like, man, if we're making payments, I don't know. I don't know if that's good. Guy like Rocky. You thought you're just going to get that Jersey Mike's for free, did you?
Sitting there with two fries hanging out of his mouth. You want the rest of these?
You heard of the dad tax. I got one for you. All right, 9 o'clock. Clark Kellogg going to join us on the show. We'll obviously talk football and Browns football with Clark Kellogg. No, we're going to talk tournament with him. Thought that would hit a little bit better. Hate it when a joke don't hit. All right, when you don't know who to trust, you just want to walk away. And I think it's happening because I have some audio to play for everybody that we're going to get deeper into the mud next on The Fan.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Street Easy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House of the Home Theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, Street Easy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Knicks Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Knicks, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Knicks Menswear, your friend in style.
The PGA Tour is all systems go, and so is the new show, Early Wedge, on the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Sportsline experts Sia Nejad, Mike McClure, and Eric Cohen alongside myself, Rick Gaiman, Patrick McDonald, and Jason Sobel. Five times per week, the Early Wedge provides the best information for DFS lineups, outright selections, and so much more. Follow and listen to Early Wedge in the Early Edge feed on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.